So good morning or afternoon. I'm Rick Woodham from Tagit, and welcome to another installment of Digital Game Changer series. For those of you, this is your first time to join us, well, welcome. And for those of you who have joined us previously, well, welcome back. You know, I'll tell you, I love my job. And one of the things I love about my job, in addition to meeting speakers like the one you will meet today, is every week when I talk to banks, I'm always learning something new about the pace at which banks are moving with their digital initiatives. And you know, we're just in an unprecedented time when you think about how quickly the environment and the markets around us are moving relative to what consumers and business customers expect from their banks from a digital capabilities perspective. So it just, there's never a dull moment, I guess. And my hope is that with each of these sessions that we do, that you're able to walk away with one or two nuggets that sort of help you in your particular digital journey, wherever you are at the bank you're working in today. So at Tagit, you know, we kind of enjoy helping banks define their digital strategies and implement innovative solutions. So it really is a bit of a pillar to how we think about engaging with customers today. So in our session today, we're joined by Mr. Mohammed Rushdie, who is a leading fintech and digital transformation advisor in the Middle East. Mr. Rushdie is a seasoned technology professional and executive with more than 25 years of experience across multiple industries, including financial services. Mr. Rushdie has been nominated as one of the top 50 CIOs at the IDC CIO Summit in 2021 of digital leaders in the Middle East. You can frequently find him as a guest speaker, like you are today, on podcasts, in regional and international conferences, and in a variety of fintech topics, as well as what his contributions are to fintech work groups that he's part of. So, Mohammed, welcome to the Tagit podcast, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks a lot. It's really my pleasure to be with you today.
Well, it's great to have you with us. So shall we get started with 20 questions?
Oh, please, you know.
I'll tell you what, I'll keep it to three or four. How about that?
That's great. Please, go ahead.
So I know that you have a bit of a global presence. I mean, I know you're exposed to a lot of things globally and internationally. But if we take just a few minutes and focus a little bit on the Middle East, what are some of the major technology trends that you see around the fintech industry in the Middle East today? And how do you think they're poised to grow over the next few years?
Yes, thank you for asking this question. It's really very interesting. You know, Middle East started the fintech journey, which is like maybe a bit later than the other parts of the world. But we have to say that it's a bit very fast happening, you know, maybe or fast forwarding, I would say, as well in the last 2 years, even during the COVID time, I think, you know, it started picking up big time here in our region.
Yeah.
It was in the beginning, which is like everywhere else, it's like B2C, business to consumer, like most of the fintech, you know, efforts going on with for consumer based. But now we can see there is a shift as well to the business part, you know, SMEs, corporates, yeah, and so on. And I think this is what we're going to see. We have only one unicorn in our region, which is like, one company, which is as well as a B2C company. But I think we're going to see, we expect to have a unicorn from the B2B, you know, or the SME part, hopefully soon here in our region. So you could see as well, there is very interesting thing happening. There have many fintech centers happened in the last 3 to 5 years. So you can see in each and every country in the Middle East, there's a fintech center, fintech association. There is something called fintech, which is the government is pushing or supporting, ecosystem is supporting. So you can see many fintech centers. I think a good thing I can see as well in our region is some kind of, you know, competition. You know, we're trying to see who is winning, because we are small countries here in the Middle East. We are not very big, you know, compared to other places. And each country has its own boundaries and regulation and so on. So people start having a healthy competition, okay, which one is raising the highest fund, which one is having the biggest company, and so on. So I think we have a very healthy ecosystem being developed in the Middle East. And I think we're moving from a B2C, which is still developing, to a B2B, which is started to be developed a year back.
Mm. So I'm glad you sort of mentioned the business side of things. One of the things that we're seeing an emergence of, and actually it's not been recent, it's really been over the last 12 or 18 months, but you're really starting to see an emergence of these micro SMEs. Now, I'll be very quick to tell you that I don't know a lot about the Middle East market, I've lived in Asia for almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that the micro SME segment is really that segment of those small shops. And many of them have not had banking relationships for many years, right?
Yes.
But they say small shops who don't want a corporate banking kind of feel. They really want that retail kind of digital experience, but they do need a little bit of that rigor of maker checker kinds of things, right? Are you seeing the same thing across the Middle East as well?
Yes, yes. You know, you touched on a very important segment, actually. And here, what I can see, few fintechs coming out here, they are in early stage, to automate this, the work of these guys, which is most of the work in Excel today.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, it's 90% of the economy in the Middle East countries. Many of these 90% are SMEs or MSMEs. So yeah. This guy is not only payment, by the way, it's not only fintech. No, the point here is the automation of their day-to-day work. It's not happening.
Well, especially when it comes to access to money, right? I mean, a lot of these small businesses would like to grow, but they just don't have really the access that other companies might have access to in terms of funding.
That is
right?
True. So you have two concerns here, two important things. One is access to fund. So you don't have many of the financing happening for MSMEs or SMEs. And I have a report with Arab Monetary Fund. We're talking about as well, who funded SMEs. You know, we have around, I remember the report was saying, you know, some of the fintechs here, roughly maybe there is 15 to 18% of, SMEs, you know, fintech or apps or whatever. And only 5% of these, or 3 to 5% only for getting the fund to them, for financing only.
Oh, wow.
The rest was only automation. So you rightly said, people are not able to get the fund. They're not able to get a banking, you know, loans or financing and so on. So this is a very important part. You could see now things are happening. For example, you have buy now, pay later. It's, you know, explosion worldwide. But for consumer, we have some buy now, pay later for SMEs, but a little. But in our region, we don't have it at all. So we could see the move from a financing point of view is one. We have a crowdfunding, a very good successful crowdfunding here as well for SMEs or micro and SMEs. And then we have as well, you know, the automation part, which I could see many or few fintechs is happening now to automate, the back office of SMEs or small SMEs. I said maybe the small ones mainly, which they cannot afford to go for any ERP or an application or a software. So these guys, they are doing it. Plus, they are putting on top of that is the payment. Because even these guys, all what they do is do checks or money transfer and so on. They don't do cards, you know, they are not using cashless or whatever. They are using other means, actually. So people coming with a corporate card, you can call it, plus, you know, the back office automation. So we could see there is a very good wave, I would say, since maybe 6 months or a year started happening to cater for this, you know, segment, which, as you rightly said, it's a big segment, even in Asia and everywhere. But this segment are not taking, you know, they are not part of this kind of hype or vibe, which was happening. Because everything was consumer, you know, me and everybody and the app and so on. And, you know, for another reason, because going into SMEs or which one, the risk is higher. You are worried about what companies, you know, what the situation and so on. You need to do some more credit scoring and so on. So I think that was some of the challenges. But I believe things are changing nowadays here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I when I think about the micro SME segment, so I'm kind of the old guy in the group, right? So when I was growing up and my dad was trying to introduce me to a banking relationship, because in those days there really was a branch I went to and had a relationship, right? But I remember, I was trying to get a loan to buy my first car. And the bank was hesitant because, you know, I had a part-time job in school, but I had no credibility, no credit worthiness, right? And I couldn't get credit worthiness until somebody loaned me the money, and nobody would loan me the money because I didn't have any credit worthiness, and I sure didn't need a credit card because I was completely irresponsible in those days. So, you know, the micro SMEs are sort of in that same catch 22. So it's really good that some of the fintechs and some of the government entities are really kind of stepping up to help sort of bridge that ecosystem a bit for these guys. Because my view at the moment is whether they're your retail customers or your micro SMEs, the ecosystem with which you operate becomes quite crucial to your everyday way of sort of living life, right? Whether it's your small business or, you know, what you do as a consumer, right? So I'm quite keen for these guys to really get engaged.
No, I would say by next year, you're going to see some great stories here from the region. I am just looking in some of these initiatives and fintechs. And as you said, government as well, we have given a very good fund here for SMEs and micro. So I think you're going to see some good movement and some good fintechs or, you know, innovations happening in here and with collaboration with banking and as well. So I think for every 23, you're going to see something, you know, maybe more crystallized and clear here in this segment.
Yeah. So what are you seeing on the retail side from a perception perspective with consumers? You know, again, Asia has had a very rapid adoption of digital with the consumer base, but that's been driven very much by payment accessibility, right? I mean, when I can go down to the guy who, you know, cuts my dog's hair and pay him with my telephone, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that, right? And so that's driven a lot of perception change across Asia for payment systems that have really gone truly real time and all that. Are you seeing similar shifts from a digital perspective on the consumer side in the Middle East today?
The same, you know, every, you know, most of what's happening is starts from payments. So this is what's going on as of today. And I think the payment segment is the king of fintechs as of today. Yeah. We have some very interesting, you know, maybe, as I said, we started a bit late than other region, but we're going fast. We have very interesting ones around B2B, you know, peer-to-peer payment and so on. You know, as well, you know, the region here, I think UAE and Saudi are the biggest worldwide for money remittances out of the country. So lots of people here living from Asia, from Arabic countries like Egypt and others, they transfer money to their families and so on. So you have lots of outflow of this kind of payment. So now there is solutions as well, which you can do it even for, we have very interesting thing you can see for labor, for example, the blue collars, which is you get a little of salary, they have to go on the queue somewhere to do the transfer and pay maybe a big amount compared to their salary to transfer. We have a digital bank or digital banking apps, which is the guys, they can get the money into the app and they can able to transfer it to their families and they get a very good rate as well. And now even this kind of digital banks are trying even to do some financing for them by now, by later, for example, or get an early access to their salaries. So we are getting a really, it's great thing happening around payment still. The ecosystem, because even the country, or as I said, you know, the demographics of people living in our region is different. So I think the payment is doing a great thing here. I think the other part, which I said, maybe the financing is still, it's still banking. And I think there is some innovation happening from the digital banks. You know, we have few digital banks are coming up in the region here. And this is promised to even do the financing part. You know, you move from only a payment and accounts and cars to the financing part, which I know it's a bit difficult because you have to do all the thing online and the real time, and you have to do scoring. So I know, but I think it's happening from the consumer point of view. And now as well, because we have open banking is coming up, we have already regulation here in Bahrain started, Saudi already did done something this year, UAE is doing something done already. And by end of the year, we might see some, the full spectrum of maybe the regulation. So Egypt is some work is happening also about banking. You know, all the regions, there is lots of work about open banking. And I think as soon as the open banking come, which I know it's focused more on payment, but moving from this to open finance, so you're going to see things are changing dramatically. This is what I can see. And many companies are coming, you know, to offer different, you know, products. I think maybe embedded finance will come. So I think people are starting to see in the ecosystem what everyone position and what will play, you know, what the bank will play, you know, what the fintech will play. And I think now we reach as well something which I found it very good that incumbent and fintechs, you could see there is a synergy, let us work together. I think 3 years back, it was a zero-sum game, it's either me or you. But now we could see the kind of, you know, collaboration happening. And I would say it's going to be payment still, but I think we're moving to something else, which is financing, plus robo-advisory. Even we can see robo-advisory with banking, by the way, now, the white label products from a well-known robo-advisory companies, and they work together so you can find the investment. So things are moving, and then you go in the crypto as well. We could see that we're going to have some crypto you know, center the new E. And I think this is a great initiative happened by the government recently. So you can see that moving from only payment to many more exciting, areas as well in fintech.
Yep. So I have a use case that's been stuck in my head for a while. And I really believe from a technology perspective, we're there. But it just means putting all the parts together. And here's my use case, right? So, the reality is that most of us go through our life and we need financing, right? Most of us are not disciplined enough to save enough money to pay cash for our car, yeah. Cash for our house, right? And there's nothing wrong with responsible lending, right? Nothing at all. So I had this use case where I walk into my local Toyota dealership. And as soon as I walk in, I get a message from my bank that says, Rick, I see you're at so-and-so Toyota dealership, right? We've pre-approved you for a $15,000 loan if you're interested in buying a car, right? And my bank establishes a dialogue with me proactively because I've given them access to my location. The bank knows a lot about my spending habits, my credit worthiness, and they proactively engage with me while I'm standing in that Toyota dealership. And when you think about the power that brings to the bank and what you can do as a consumer, it really opens up a lot of possibilities. So I think that as we're starting to mature some of these technologies, especially around AI and voice related technologies, I think some of these use cases will really be very commonplace because you're right. 3 years ago, it was us and them. And we've kind of sorted out the fact that it's just us. It's all of us together, ooh. Right? So I think you'll see some of this come to fruition, or at least I hope you do, right?
I think this use case, it's everybody's dream. And I think I was even 2 years back or 3 years back for discussing something similar, you are rightly said, what you said, it does make sense 100% now with even having this open finance, open banking, where, once you are there and once, as you rightly said, if you give me your location and privacy will take care of it and all, I'm able to offer you instant, a discount. Even if you use my card, for example, in this shop now, I can give you whatever, it's instant. I can do financing for you for this period or a loan for a car. So I think this is a great thing, when bringing all the ecosystem together, when all these parties talk together, when even as I've been discussing, about, what will happen with open finance and open banking, I said, you don't need to talk to a bank when you are buying a car. You go to the car, you like it, you put your ID, scoring happens, these three banks are there, choose one, you're done, go to the police, whatever, the Murur or the traffic department, register, you drive your car in an hour or two, whatever. Yeah. And I think I have a very interesting use case happening in the region with one fintech, an Islamic fintech, we call it. And they are trying to do this ecosystem, bring everybody together where you don't need to go to the bank, halas, because now your data, everything is connected. We are able to offer you this one. The bank will do a great role while the fintech, the player in the middle, the open banking guys or whatever, plus the retailer or the showroom, whatever companies. So they'll be all together working together. Then you don't need to go to the bank, Khalas, right. It's done. I know, sorry, the word khalas, it means it's okay in Arabic. I'm sorry, I repeat it so people will not understand it. I'm sorry about that. It's been finished. It's over. We can do it. So I think this is what we are all aiming for, either from financing, payment, offering customer, instant discount or whatever. So I think this is what we are trying to achieve nowadays. By technology is playing a big role, ecosystem player playing a big role, regulation is playing a big role. And now because all came together and they understand there's a big value for the economy, for sustainability, by the way, big time as well. So we need to do all of this together. So I think we hope to see this soon, inshallah.
Yep, agreed. So what do you think some of the major challenges are that you see banks facing across the region in terms of kind of getting down this path, right? Because you and I are talking about things that are very clear to us, but the day-to-day reality of what happens on the ground is truly a journey, right? So what do you think some of the bigger struggles are?
Sometimes I feel sorry for my colleagues. So I was in banking. I've been in banking for a long time. And, now, first of all, most of banks, they run in a legacy systems. Even when we say we have the latest release, whatever you can call it, in a core system or whatever. Still, the banks running for a long time in their earlier core systems. Core system modernization is very important for them. Regulation does not allow, or still maybe allow now, to go for cloud. So we will start thinking about the cloud-based thing. So now there are lots of work they have to do at their, you know, to tidy up the house, you know, the system and technology and so on. At the same time, they want to move very fast when with like, think like a fintech, you know. Yeah. The guys came with a fresh mind. They don't know about risk and all of the stuff which we have in banking and so on. So they have this battle, you know. They are trying to work in their house to make sure it's all okay, it's ready for open banking and the core systems and the back offices are okay. At the same time, they want to move very fast and the security to become in place. So I think this is like what's happening with them. Yep. With them. The other thing I think banking is facing as well is a cultural change, you know, because before we used to see being a seven banks, okay, I can do this one, you know, any technology you can do, by the way, it's not something far. But how long does it take you to do it? Would be able to prioritize this one, or shall I go and talk to a fintech or an innovator? Mm-hmm. So you need the cultural change is very important first, you know, but technology can do everything for you, but how and when? You can drive a car, it can take you from here to there for an hour, and you might drive something, you know, it can take you for half an hour, for example. Yeah. So you have to make sure that collaboration is the key. Working your technologies, you know, house and making sure it's all ready and it's all updated and so on is another thing. You need to see how can you really balance both and work. The other thing is working with the regulators as well. Because I used to tell people, don't say regulators is making us late. No, it's not. Because regulators does not know about this innovation, by the way. Mm. You need to go and talk to them. So to manage all of this, I think it's becoming like a pressure for banks to move. And it's a very important thing here I want to tell as well. You don't have to be in a blockchain use case because blockchain, everyone's talking about, you know, it's a use case. Yeah. It's a business case at the end of the day. It might even sometimes don't bring money now, but can bring in the future. So you need to talk about short term and long term. And if you need to do something really, you know, like it should have a value or a purpose. It's not like, you know, we are not, as I said, digital transformation, I used to say, you should say transform digital.
Yeah.
Because the transformation comes before being digital. You know, digital is a big enabler here. So you have to talk about the transformation itself, the business case itself, what you are bringing to your customer and so on. And then you are able to put your roadmap and move on and get the right, you know, partner from a technology point of view and from a fintech and innovator point of view and so on. So I think this is what banks need to do and then move on. I think this like a more strategic, it's not a technological only. So we need to bring all this together, have a roadmap and move, because I think, you know, the role will change and you should accept that the role will change. As I said, you don't see a bank. I don't need to go to a bank branch to buy a car.
Yep.
I need to go to a showroom to buy a car. So it means the roles will change. So technology will play a big role here. And then we might not need the branches, we might need the service centers and so on. So this thinking and the culture thinking need to be there.
So I always learn something, right? So the concept of transformation first and then digital is a bit eye-opening, right? Because the reality is we all see things through the lens, our own lens, right? And banks are no different, right? Banks see things through the lens that they have in front of them. And one of the reasons why the partnerships with fintechs or bringing in new talent is important is it allows the bank to change the lens a little bit. And I think that's hugely important. So I want to kind of wrap this up into a nice package. So you're an advisor, right? So I'm going to ask you to give the listeners a bit of advice, right? So what do you believe some of the key ingredients are for these banks as they're going through this transformation journey, where digital is enabler to that journey, right? Because I love the way that plays out, right? So what do you think are some of the key ingredients and what advice would you give these banks today?
First of all, put your customer first. Think from the customer lens, not from the bank, not from the system. You know, forget about the system, the technology. Think about the customer. Customer experience become the most important thing in this transformation we're having today. Put your strategy based on the customer needs. And the customer needs not today, even the future generation, because today we, in our age, on our level today, our need from not different from the Gen Z and whatever is going to come. Then you need to put a roadmap, and this roadmap should handle all of these kind of, you know, requirements and so on. Work with all ecosystem around you, because this can make a big, big difference. Don't look up yourself only because you can do everything. You can do everything after 10, 15 years, but you can do it today and tomorrow quickly. But, you know, quickly. Work with regulators, be open to all the innovation, appreciate each and everything idea comes to you, even if it's disruptive, out of the box, because this is very important. Third, fail fast, you know, or fourth, fail fast. So it's okay to fail. No issue at all. You might even, you know, appreciate people failing fast and moving. So you have to make sure that, you know, if you fail fast and you move, then innovation will be in place. You're going to move, you're going to do something else. And think as banking today, tomorrow will not be not like today's bank. It's different. It will not be a bank. It will be something else.
Yep. So it kind of reminds me of the expression, there really is no standing still, right? Either you're moving forward or people are moving forward around you. And by default, you're moving backwards, right?
That's right.
So, Mohammed, what a great conversation. I've enjoyed being able to chat with you for a few minutes. And certainly good meeting you for the first time today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure as well, Eric. It's very much a, my